This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Just 13% of Americans say the government can be trusted to do what is right almost or most of the time, with just three-quarters saying they trust a government only some of the time, and 1 in 10 saying they never trust the government. These are new lows for these readings. That's according to a recent CNN OCR International poll. When people don't trust the government, does that make governing all the more difficult? Like in any relationship, how do you move forward if there's no trust? What do you think caused this rift? What needs to happen to change it? We want to hear from you. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. Do you trust the government? 210-614-8980. You can email us your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org or write directly on our show page on the website at tpr.org. Our guest this half hour, Thomas Mann, congressional scholar, senior fellow at Brookings, author of the books Broken Branch, How Congress is Failing America and How to Get It Back on Track, and It's Even Worse Than It Looks. And we also have Bruce Buchanan, professor of government at the University of Texas, author of numerous books on the presidency, including The Citizen's Presidency and Renewing Presidential Politics. Welcome to The Source, both of you, Bruce and Thomas.
Glad to be here.
Thank you, David.
So, Thomas Mann, let me ask you, lack of trust in the government, is this a problem?
First of all, let me say, I'm always puzzled at who the 13% are that trust Congress all the time and approve of its work.
You'd well, that's the lunatic fringe.
Oblivious. Oblivious to what's been going on. Listen, the absence of public trust is not the source of our problems. The, you know, a whole host of problems contribute to a lack of public trust, much of which reflects the some simple realities of things not going well, things not getting done. It also importantly reflects the fact that American voters have become much more partisan, and the parties have polarized so that most Republicans now give very negative ratings to Democrats in general and vice versa. Democrats low ratings to Republicans. So when you get a Congress that's divided itself between the two parties, a Democratic Senate and a Republican House, and you ask general questions about Congress, then Republicans are thinking about that terrible Democratic Senate, and the Democrats are thinking about that god-awful Republican House. And so everyone ends up negative and untrusting. Our politics really produces the lack of trust, and the politics is also the source of our governing problem.
But governing, we do want highways. We want our planes to be able to land on good runways. We have to have a government that works. We need to be able to defend the country. So having this lack of trust, will that, get out of the sphere of the editorial page and the chattering class to actually hurting quality of life, Thomas?
Listen, we got serious problems, but I think it's not the trust. It's the fact that voters have given us a divided party government, a Republican House with a Democrat in the White House at a time of deep partisan polarization. That means Republicans are vehemently opposed to anything that Obama favors and are not interested in engaging in negotiations to deal with the very questions and problems you discussed. That's the source of our problem. It's the partisan division. It's the hyper-partisanship. It's trust itself is an indicator of how well the polity and the society thinks of itself. We have much lower levels of trust, but we've had those before. I'll tell you, in 2009, 2010, we had still low levels of trust in Congress, but because one party controlled both ends of Pennsylvania Avenue, we got a whole lot done. So it isn't trust that keeps us from dealing with, or the lack of trust that keeps us from dealing with our problems. It's the hyper-partisanship and the division of government between the two parties.
Okay. Bruce Buchanan, professor of government at UT Austin. You've written a couple of books about the many books about presidencies. So it seems that Nixon, with the impeachment and the tapes and all that, was that really a change in the way people felt about their trust with the government?
I think it was. I think you have to look at two events, Vietnam and Watergate, both, where the perception on the part of the American people in both instances was that they had been misled by presidents. And as a consequence of that, lost their faith in them. And you can go back and look at the poll numbers on a variety of polls and see that trust in government was up around 73% on the positive side. Precipitous drop from that point forward, with I guess the low point being somewhere in about 1980, and then climbing back up for a time during Ronald Reagan, back down again for a while under Bill Clinton, and climbing under Clinton and reaching somewhere around 60% under Bush, and then back down under Obama into the 24% range. And so it's never after those. I think the original cause of all this decline was a moral breach of faith based on the sense that because of the way Presidents Nixon and Johnson presented themselves to the American people untruthfully, from that time forward, it was downhill with occasional jumps upward, but it's never gotten back near what it was in 1960, for example.
Well, I remember hearing the Nixon tapes when I was a kid for the first time and hearing him cussing and saying bad things about racial groups, and that was eye-opening to me. It was like, whoa, this is happening in the Oval Office? I guess I was just a naive kid, but I think the whole government, whole nation had that feeling.
Well, I think you're right, because people had something of a starry-eyed view of government and a good deal of faith in it, growing out of the perception that the United States was a force for good in the world and had done what it could, especially in the early years of the Johnson administration, to bring the disadvantaged into stronger positions in terms of health, education, and welfare. And all of that reinforced this positive outlook that you and others, many others like you, felt. And then the contrast between that and the way Nixon conducted himself in the Watergate affair and the fact that President Johnson was perceived to have misled the American people.
Right. Concerning. So Bruce Buchanan, I'll get back to you on that. We've got to take a quick break. This is The Source on KSTX. We're talking about, do you trust the government? And we want to hear from you. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Do you trust the government? When did you lose your trust? Do you think having this lack of trust in our government is a problem? How can we turn this around? Give us a call. We want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. When we went to break, we were hearing from Bruce Buchanan, the professor of government at UT University of Texas, talking about the, 40 years ago, almost to the day here, we had President Nixon resigning, and that was a eye-opener for the government, for the people, realizing things aren't always so nice and rosy in the Rose Garden, Bruce?
That's true, and it's not gotten anything but worse ever since. And I think what Tom was speaking about earlier, the polarization intensifies that feeling in the current era because of the sense that there's a number of things contributing to the unhappiness of the people with the government and their distrust of it. But one of them is this polarization. Other concerns are the fact that the government has done nothing about problems that people care about, and that previously they looked to the government to help solve. For example, economic unfairness, which was a big priority at the time of Lyndon Johnson. No longer so. We've got a rich-poor gap in this country that we haven't seen the like of in the past. The gridlock and paralysis that Tom was talking about, sulfurous politics, just the tenor and the tone. It's always going to be attack and character assassination. That turns people off. They don't like it. The idea that it's hard to find a politician who seems to be in it for anything other than himself. I think that's the kind of thing that bothers ordinary folks when they look at government. Why can't these guys put the public interest ahead of their own reelection, for example, once in a while? Why is the emphasis always on raising money and not on solving problems that ordinary people have? So all those things, I think, combine with the original major moral transgressions associated with Vietnam and Watergate, which are still, I think, in the backdrop. People just don't trust because they don't think these are ethical practitioners. And then you see all this other recent evidence to reinforce that, and you're down in the depths where we find ourselves now.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Our phones are open. If you want to give us a call, the number is 210-614-8980. Jeff has called in. Jeff, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. My comment is this. I pretty much lost faith in politics during the whole Tom DeLay K Street project when it became obvious that the necessary function of government was going to be turned into a cash harvesting operation. And then, of course, Citizens United and then DeLay found not guilty of campaign finance fraud. That pretty much took a lot of my belief in the system out pretty quickly. Thank you.
Okay, Jeff, thank you for that call. DeLay was found guilty, but then there was like an appeal and now not guilty. But he brings up the permanent campaigns that we have, that there are no timeouts in Washington, D.C. for actual governing, no problem solving, no practical politics. It's always about trying to position yourself. Thomas Mann, is that, you think that's a good read?
Well, it's true. It's a consequence of the close division between the parties and the real live competition for control of the majority in the House and the Senate, as well as the White House. Under those circumstances, on top of the real ideological polarization between the parties, is you get this strategic interest in which, instead of engaging in sort of serious negotiation, compromise, and lawmaking, parties have an incentive to use the legislative process to advance their prospects in the next election. Mind you, it isn't a problem of individual members. It's a problem of team play. The level of sort of commitment to one's party and the need to raise money for one's party and to vote whatever you think along party lines to embarrass the other party and give you a leg up in the next election. All of that has turned what we used to call a permanent campaign into a partisan war that really never ends. And that's really at root of the problem. Yeah, money in politics, as Jeff said, is really unseemly. And Tom DeLay was one tough politician and extracted funds from lobbyists on K Street and cut corners, and you know, that's hardball politics. And when people see that so visibly, it certainly turns them off. But I think it's important to remember that if you look at our whole history and not just contemporary American history, you realize that, you know, this is more the norm than the exception. The Eisenhower years were quiescent times after the end of World War II, and these were times of real trust, but they had been preceded by bitter battles over whether the U.S. should get involved in World War II, and there were similar battles going back throughout our history. I think if we had polling back at those times, we'd find very low levels of trust in government. Americans have always been skeptical of the institutions of government and the people who occupy them, oftentimes unfairly. Many times the public really has incredible misperceptions of what's going on and what the true source of the problems are in trying to deal with these challenges that Bruce was discussing.
Okay, back to the phone lines, and the number is 210-614-8980 if you want to join a conversation like Lee. Hey, Lee, you're on the air. Welcome to The Source.
Hi, I just want to make a comment that I don't really think it has anything to do with Richard Nixon or whatnot. If you ask most 30-year-olds, they wouldn't even be able to tell you who Richard Nixon was and what he did. The lack of trust comes from the fact that they all seem to be bought and paid for by some interest one way or the other, and whether it be your local politicians bought by big road builders or your major politicians, your presidents, your congressmen bought by big oil or big agro, or somebody seems to be, everybody seems to be bought by somebody. And, you know, I think your speaker's correct. It all comes back to this big money issue in campaigns. You know, these guys got to have limits. There's got to be some sort of law put in effect where they say, okay, everybody gets $500,000 to run a campaign, and that's it, no more. You know, if not, it just, it seems like an endless cycle where who will line the congressman or the senator's pockets enough that he's going to win the election. And the local guy on the street saying, you know, well, why should I trust any of you if you all are bought? You know, I don't think it has anything to do with the presidents. The presidents, they all, you know, they come off good and they seem right, but in the end, they're held to account by the people who, you know, are going to line their pockets for their reelection campaign.
Okay. All right, Lee, thank you. I think you made your point. I appreciate you calling in. Thank you for contributing to the conversation. So let me ask you, Bruce Buchanan, here we are, all this distrust, but look at all the incumbents that are heading back to Washington, D.C. I mean, not a whole lot of change.
That's true. Part of that's because of the artful redistricting executed by both parties, most successfully at the moment by the Republicans, which keep that election success working in their behalf. That's part of it, no question about it. I think Tom had his finger on it when he talked about the importance in terms of the incentives of politicians of a closely competitive, closely divided party structure, and for that matter, popular structure right now. But the parties are so caught up in this competition precisely because they can smell both victory and defeat. And if you contrast a period like we're in now and have been many times in history, as Tom points out, closely divided in that way, that's when that politics gets the nastiest. That's when the fight for resources becomes the most fervent.
Right. So I'm going to ask Tom the question here. Are there factions in Washington, D.C. who actually benefit from this distrust, and they try to bring this enormous turmoil to the system, who want to not allow solutions?
Well, I think you'd say that those who prefer less government, less regulation, and a discrediting of government more generally profit from low levels of trust in the government, and in fact fashion ideologies and campaign themes that reinforce and almost caricature the case against Congress. I know many members of Congress and have watched them over the decades. Most members are not bought and sold by individual interests. They have strong personal views. They are members of one party or the other, which have different takes on the best thing to do by way of public policy. Certainly, interest, ideological and economic interest, have an impact. That's part of the guarantee of the Constitution to petition your government. That's the inevitable play of politics. But I think the level of public cynicism that they're all bought and sold reflects more a kind of media commentary on the awfulness of our politics rather than a clear-eyed reading of the problems. Money is problematic, and the Supreme Court has said spending limits are unconstitutional. With the current court, there is relatively little that can be done about the campaign finance problems in this country.
Right. It'll take a long slog to try and change that trajectory right now. But back to you, Bruce Buchanan, at the presidency, the man in the Oval Office, he has the bully pulpit. Is it up to the president to reverse this trend? Can the right president do it?
Well, the president's the face of government. They typically start off with a honeymoon, with expectations high and hopes strong. Almost inevitably, that declines as the reality of the job and the relationship with Congress and the controversies emerge between the parties and the Congress, and that makes it look like there's a lot of arguing and no forward progress, and that leads to decline in presidential popularity. And you get a situation, once a president is reelected, where they almost never return to the level that they achieved on the day of their reelection. And it's an uphill struggle from there because it's no longer the case that they are filled with hope and promise. Instead, they've been stumped and trumped and thwarted.
And then we're back to the beginning again. All right, Bruce Buchanan, professor of government at UT Austin, and Thomas Mann, congressional scholar, author of some great books with the Brookings. This is The Source on KSTX. Back after the news.